My second guest this morning is Ricardo Cate. He's a member of Santo Domingo Pueblo, where he's been very busy in the past few weeks, and I think even yesterday, dancing and doing ceremonial things. And if you guys read the Santa Fe New Mexican ever, you know Ricardo's work. He's the creator of Without Reservations, a cartoon about Native American life. Good morning, Ricardo.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. I think I've got you on the wrong mic. Try that again. Say good morning again.
Good morning.
Let's try it one more time.
Good morning.
All right. Having just had three people on, I wasn't sure which mic you were on there. So in case some people haven't seen your cartoons, they're one-panel cartoons, typically, and they feature one to three Native Americans, usually guys in braids, and sometimes hapless current or former historical characters like Custer shows up once in a while. Did you grow up a fan of cartoons?
I started drawing cartoons in seventh grade with my best friend, David. After we were separated into separate classrooms, we started drawing things that happened in our various classrooms or respective classrooms. And so we would exchange these cartoons. They look like notes, but when you unfolded them, they were cartoons of what happened in that class that we just walked out of. So we doodled a lot. And they were funny to us. They were picked up by other students, you know, just to mess with us. And they would read them, and there was no reaction from them. So I think they were more like inside jokes at that time. So only the two of us could get them. So.
Did you get in trouble for writing?
I got in trouble with Mrs. O'Malley, who was our English teacher, and she had caught me doodling in the back. And unfortunately, I was doodling her at the time. And she got angry, and she tore up my cartoon, and she told me they would never amount to anything.
Oh, have you, is she gone already?
I don't know.
Wow.
It's hard to keep track of the teachers that teach on the reservation, because they come all the way from Santa Fe or Albuquerque, and when they quit or, you know, they're just gone, and, you know, it's hard to keep track of them, so I have no idea.
Well, Mrs. O'Malley, if you're out there, you're eating your words now. So did you read cartoons as a kid? Did you have favorites?
We used to read a lot of the, back in the 70s, when the Hot Stuff and Richie Rich, the Marvel, DC Comics, we used to exchange them, because they were only, 10 cents?
Right.
And when my mom went to get groceries, she would bring back a whole bundle of comics, and I would exchange comics with David, and we'd spend the whole day reading. And I guess that's where the doodling came in a few years later. So we had a pretty good idea, you know, with the thought bubbles and the talking bubbles and where to put each character. We kind of, I guess subconsciously, after reading all those comics, we kind of knew where everything would go.
And how it should work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you start doing the Without Reservations for the New Mexican?
That was in 2005, October of 2005. After I had drawn a little cartoon back in November of 2003 at an art show in Los Angeles, I used to do pencil drawings, and then I was there for that. But that Friday night, when I had taken like 14 drawings, and that night the collectors came through and they bought all of my drawings but one, and so on Saturday, I had this huge table with this little drawing, and people were just walking by, and I must have been like really bored, because I started doodling, and I doodled my very first cartoon.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, since I was a kid. So
you hadn't, in the interim, you hadn't been doing cartoons. You'd been doing other kind of art?
No, I wasn't doing anything at all. I went and finished high school, college, and did 4 years in the Marine Corps, and raised my kids for a while. I was a security I worked security at a casino, and then a blackjack dealer, and then I was a bartender, and I hadn't drawn in over 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I just came back. It all just came back to me. So
was that first cartoon that you doodled, one that you took into the New Mexican?
Yeah, it was one of the first ones that appeared that week of October 7th, 2005. And I remember doodling at this show. It was a Native art show. And I remember doodling this cartoon, and it was kind of boring because not too many people were walking through. And so there's this guy from Zuni looking over my shoulder, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I turned around so he couldn't see what I was doing. So I was like, "Nothing." And he kept asking me, "What is that?" Because Zuni people are very nosy. So, no, I'm just kidding. So he kept asking me, and so I showed him, and he starts laughing, and he offers me $40 for the cartoon, and then $60, and then finally $80 he offers it to me. And so I finally agreed that I would give it to him, and so I went and colored it, but I made I made a few copies of it at a Kinko's around the corner, and so I started selling those for $10 each, and I sold all of those that day, and that night I drew five more cartoons, and I did the same thing, and I wound up making more from that than the drawings that I had originally taken to the show.
Wow, isn't that wonderful? Do you remember what that, when you went to the New Mexican, do you remember what the first cartoon was?
It was the one that's probably the most popular right now, with the father son looking at the horizon, and he says, "Someday, son, none of this will be yours."
Someday, son, none of this will be yours. Yeah. I love that one.
Yeah, that was the very first one, along with the very first one I drew. That week, that whole week, turned out to be the best cartoons, or the most popular, because I guess, you know, all these ideas have been working in my mind for 20 years, and so right. The first ones that came out, they were, you know, the ones that have been percolating in my mind for a while, and right. So they turn out to be the most popular ones, and I still draw them, I still paint them every once in a while, and so I really like the Someday Sun, because I always have at least one copy in my studio, and it's always amazing for me to I look at art, and I go through galleries and stuff, and it's really amazing to me that this one cartoon, most paintings are lucky to draw one emotion. This one draws two, because people look at it and they go, they laugh, they go, ha, 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 and then they go, aw.
Right.
And so it's always amazing to me that the one painting can draw two different emotions.
Two emotions.
Yeah, and so I think that is rare. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So tell me about, well, first of all, I just want to observe that because you've had such a varied life, you have this really unique perspective. I'm assuming because you were a Marine, you went away from the Pueblo, you know, lived this whole other life. You came back, you worked in these great jobs to observe people, like blackjack dealer and security person and all of that. That, you know, I think all of that must feed into your cartoons, because they're so astute in terms of how they make us think about humanity. Yeah. And so do you kind of have a philosophy that you've developed about what it is you want people to get?
None yet that I want to pass on to my kids, but as far as philosophy, I'm not sure. It's just I would have to just go with what my grandfather had told me. He passed away when I was 10, and he was always, you know, he's pretty smart, you know, and it's just, and he would say things like, you know, never don't ever marry someone you love, marry someone you like a lot.
Wow.
He would say things, outlandish things like that. But the one that really stuck in my mind, he would say, and this is translated from our language, but he would say, if you ever come to a crossroads in life, you always listen to your heart, but you have to listen closely because it whispers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so I've always lived by that. And so I think that little saying had enabled me to go against the grain, or not to do my own thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where this comes from. You know, me being different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do other Native people react to Without Reservations?
As far as I can tell, I was very, very nervous. I remember the first couple of weeks leading up to this, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm, you know, what will other natives think? I mean, I was really actually worried about it. But after it came out, and it was just received with, with a lot of enthusiasm, and people coming up to me, patting me on the back, and said, "This is great." And then I opened up a Facebook page, and it turns out I have like over 1 million followers now from other tribes. And I recently took a road trip to San Francisco, and when I put it on Facebook, I had people writing in telling me, "Come up, we're only 2 hours away from San Francisco, and you can stay at our house." And from there, I went up to Hoop Bar Reservation, and from there, I went to Cow Lake. And I kept going. I wound up in Seattle.
Wow.
And coming back down through Pendleton, Oregon, and Twin Falls. Yeah. And I must have visited maybe 25 tribes, reservations. But everywhere I went, people knew my work.
Amazing.
And it was very emotional for me, because I had no idea that this cartoon, this little cartoon that's only in just this one paper,
right,
had made such an impact. It was really pretty emotional for me, going out there.
So affirming of your work.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful that Native people find it funny, but also non-Native people find it funny.
Yeah, it took me a while. When I first came out with the cartoon, people were appalled. And they
who was appalled?
Mostly non-Natives, and I think people passing through, they would pick up the cartoon and... they looked at it, and there were so many letters that came in that first couple of years, calling me racist. The comic's not funny. It's racist. It's awful. And then I would answer each one of these letters, and every single one of them was basically the same. I would just tell them, my name's Ricardo. I'm Native, and I draw this cartoon. And then they would write back and say, "Oh, you're Native. Oh, okay. Well, I guess it's okay then."
Right.
So, yeah, it was kind of strange to get those that reaction from non-natives, where the natives, you know, accepted it fully. And then I realized, but I'm glad those letters were written, because it made me kind of look at the cartoons from a different angle, from a non-native perspective. And I realized that a lot of the jokes were probably inside jokes, native jokes.
Uh-huh.
And so. So after the first initial 2 years, I started trying to figure out how to make them more universal, so that everybody gets it. And so I'm almost to that point. And so because I'm not syndicated in other papers, I'm just in this one paper, people always ask me, "Why aren't you syndicated?"
Why aren't you? Yeah.
Well, it's for that reason. I don't want to put this out there while I'm still working on trying to get this universal. And I think I'm there. I'm pretty sure I'm there now. And in fact, I have some drawings here that I am going to be submitting to a syndicate. Well, not a syndicate, but my friend who is Lalo Alcaraz, who does La Cucaracha. I recently sat down and breakfast with him in L.A., and he's going to have...
Wait, let's stop. La Cucaracha is another cartoon that's about Mexican-Americans, basically.
Yeah. It's on the opinion page in the Santa Fe New Mexican. And... we had become friends on Facebook a couple months back, and so when I was speaking at San Luis Obispo a couple months ago, I decided to look him up, and we wound up having breakfast, and this guy's just like me. He's really funny, and we shared a lot of good ideas and thoughts, and so his agent is going to work with me to try to get find a syndicate that will accept my cartoons. And so I'll be happy if I get into 10. I mean, 25, 50 newspapers would be great.
I think it's going to happen. And I do think, you know, that's one of the things I looked at when I started thinking about having you on the show. And I obsessively clip out the cartoon and save the little stacks for a while. And is that they are so universal. I mean, some of them deal directly with Native issues, but a lot of them also get across the message, hey, just because we're Native doesn't mean we're different. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have the same stuff going on. And I love the one just recently where a woman asks a man, or a guy, no, it's two guys, says, have you made your New Year's resolution yet? And the other guy's on his computer, and he says, I've decided to be nicer to everyone on Facebook, which is great. And then even, and the theory, okay, now the theory of relativity, this one was sort of like more a native joke or a cultural joke in a way. It's two guys, and they're looking at a physics book, and one says, I thought the theory of relativity meant that if you had the hots for some girl, 9 times out of 10, she turns out to be your cousin.
Yeah, I think it's because a lot of the native communities, especially the Pueblo communities, because we all live in the same Pueblo, and we're basically supposed to marry within the tribe. Once in a while, we'll marry, someone from another Pueblo, but it's mostly within the Pueblo, and so that's where the joke comes in that,
everybody's related.
Yeah.
I'm talking with Ricardo Cate, the cartoonist of Without Reservations, which appears in the New Mexican on weekdays. It's a wonderful cartoon. And I also like the fact that you don't shy away from covering politics either. There was one recently with a guy in a feather bonnet. The guy in the feather bonnet, and another guy is standing with him, and he's holding a clay pot and a ladle, and they've got this white guy tied up to a stake. And what does he say to him? The guy in the bonnet says, it's your lucky day. You're going to be the first to experience our new enhanced interrogation technique.
Yeah, that came out. I drew that week. And the guy who's tied up looks like a former vice president.
Yeah.
And I sometimes I feel like I have to address, certain things. And I do have that mean streak in me where I can do political cartoons. In fact, if you go to my Without Reservations page on Facebook, you'll see a bunch of them that tackle that issue or immigration, even Jeb Bush running for president. Just different things that I've been trying to hold my skills in political cartooning because I found out that there's a Pulitzer Prize for
there you
editorial
go.
Cartooning, and I would love to be the first native to win that.
Wow, that's a great goal.
Yeah.
What a wonderful goal. Well, I certainly get a kick out of it. But Ricardo, and let's see, your website is it ricardocate.com?
Yeah, it's ricardocate.com, C-A-T-E. Uh-huh. And a friend of mine and I recently, we were still working on it. I think it's really close to being what we want it to look like and everything. But we have merchandise on there, for like paintings and then my calendar and T-shirts and other things. And so everything's set up. And so, you can go on there. Check out some cartoons, and I'm hoping to put some other things on there, so more of my inner thoughts and
kind of like a blog or something.
Yeah, uh-huh. Kind of like a blog. Yeah, I'm that old. I don't understand a lot of this stuff, but a blog and maybe a couple videos. I'm working on a music video of my road trip that I just talked about, and other schools that I visit. I talk at schools.
Yeah, tell me about that. What is that work? I know you do a lot more than just this cartoon.
Yeah, well, I speak at schools, and I often tell children that come in to my shop here in Santa Fe.
You have a gallery here in Santa Fe, downtown.
Yes, it's downtown.
Uh-huh.
And when they come in and they're from Santa Fe, I always tell them, talk to your teacher, your principal, and I can come to your school. If it's here in Santa Fe or it's on one of the reservations, I don't charge anything. I just tell them, just make sure you feed me. That's enough. And so I would go to these classrooms, and I have a little PowerPoint, or even if I don't, as long as I have a drawing pad and a marker, I'll amaze these kids with some of my drawings and just talk about how I got into cartooning, or even show them how to put all their ideas into one panel like I do, and it's amazing what some of these kids come up with. And so I also speak at colleges. Like I said, I just came from San Luis Obispo. I'm supposed to be speaking at Columbia University in February, and then I speak at different functions or Friends of Wheelwright. I've spoken up there on Museum Hill.
And what do you speak about? Mostly about cartooning or?
Well, the cartooning comes in at the middle, but at the beginning I set it up by telling stories of growing up on the reservation. Uh-huh. And they're pretty funny stories. They're not, I'm basically setting things up to where people get why I draw the cartoons or where the cartoons come from, mm-hmm. where the humor comes from. Mm-hmm. And so that's the basic setup. And then I get into the cartooning, then I get into what my aspirations are afterwards. And so it all comes out to about 45 minutes. I have a PowerPoint, mm-hmm. Images on PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. And so it's a pretty good talk, and I can hold the audience's attention.
I'll bet you can.
For that long.
Yeah. It kind of, it's interesting because the cartoon, this thing you loved as a child and came back to it as an adult, has been like your ticket to being, or not your ticket exactly, but your means of becoming an ambassador for Native people in a way. That, you know, you're not getting up there giving a political talk or trying to persuade anybody of anything. You're just sharing your life story and these amazing cartoons. But in the process of doing that, I imagine that a lot of people you talk to don't have a Native friend, don't really know much about the Native world, and you're there to, that's part of what you do, is tell them about it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool how that turned out. I never wanted to be an ambassador. I just wanted to draw the cartoons. And then in my interview, my book that came out, that's available on Amazon, I said that I do not speak for other Natives. This is just how I see the world. And it just turns out that a lot of Natives agree with the cartoons, and they agree with what I have to say. And so that's where that ambassadorship kind of comes from. But I never meant to do that. But now that it has, I feel like I have a big responsibility to mm-hmm. use it the best way I can, mm-hmm. to help people. Mm-hmm. First, Natives to cope with our situation, then non-Natives to understand, you know, why are we protesting this mascot thingy, or why do we have this close relationship to the land, and other things that people, I kind of put a lot of ideas on the table, mm-hmm. but because I kind of come at it at a different angle, people feel comfortable in
right. It's not confrontive. It's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
It's funny. And like when you were mentioning the issue of mascots with Native American names and stuff, you did one great cartoon with a Native guy, an Anglo guy in a T-shirt that says Redskins, and then a Native guy in a T-shirt that says Cowboys.
Yeah.
Just said it all right there.
Well, that actually, people think it's from the controversy lately, but that cartoon actually came out about 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why I drew it is because I noticed at some point that there were a lot of cowboy fans. But they're all on my reservation or other reservations that I visit. And you don't see a Redskins fan until you come to Santa Fe or go to Albuquerque.
Interesting.
And that's why I drew that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I did tackle the mascot, the Redskins thing, about four or five different cartoons. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's always a live topic. So tell me about the book.
The book Without Reservations came out in 2012, the publisher is Gibbs Smith, and it's available here at Collected Works and at Kishi and at Teeny Ann's Trading Post, and I think Wheelwright still carries some,
mm-hmm.
As well as the Museum of Contemporary Native Art across from the chapel.
Uh-huh.
And there's other places I imagine that carry them. Barnes & Noble carries them. Uh-huh. But a lot of my sales come from Amazon,
mm-hmm.
which you can order on Amazon. It's called Without Reservations, The Cartoons of Ricardo Cate.
Mm-hmm. And then there's an essay about you in the book.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I had originally the publisher sent me to what do you call those things at the back or at the front where they someone else talks about
endorsements?
An endorsement. Uh-huh. Yeah, and he had asked if I knew the author's name. What's his name? Sherman Alex.
Uh huh.
Because I guess
he's a native. You have to know him, right?
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. I think he assumed that all natives know each other, and so. And this was my first book, and you know, I was really excited about it. So he says, "Do you know Sherman Alexie?" I said, "So I go, yeah. You know how you lie sometimes,
right?
Because you have to." Well, I just told him that, and he goes, "Well, it'd be great if you could get an endorsement, you know, before this book comes out." And so I get off the phone, and so I'm sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, how am I going to find him?" So I Googled him, and it turns out he's going to be up at Fort Collins the next day. And so I didn't have a vehicle, and so I had a friend tell me, "Well, there's this bus that comes from Mexico, and it's a green and red striped bus, and it stops over here behind the Giant on St. Francis." And I'm like, "Why does it stop behind Giant?" And he goes, "I don't know, but you can get on there, and for like $40, you can go to Denver."
Go ahead, finish telling the story.
So anyway, so I hopped on this thing, and it stops like behind houses, behind trees along the way. It takes 8 hours to get up there, and it was during the summer, so the air conditioning and the bathroom weren't working, and I'm sitting right there by the bathroom. Everyone keeps using it.
Oh.
And so I finally wind up there, and to make a long story short, I get to the Fort Collins 5 minutes before, and he promised that he would sign it, but he never did.
So. Oh, darn. Thank you so much for being with me, Ricardo. It's really been a pleasure. I've been talking with Ricardo Cate, the cartoonist of Without Reservations, which appears in the New Mexicans.